Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins.
I am Jonathan Valenzuela.
And we are here to tell you all about the best indie games that we've been playing in the last week. It's been a hell of a week. I may have played the best indie game I've played this year.
Damn.
Maybe even the best game I've played this year.
Really?
It's surprisingly similar to my favorite game of last year. Oh. So, it turns out I have a type.
You do. You really do.
So today on the show, we're going to be talking about the new game Blasphemous, and also another game called Wilmot's Warehouse.
Yes.
But before we get into those fantastic games, we've got some more fantastic games news. There's been a ton of announcements since we last recorded.
Just a ridiculous amount of announcements.
It's PAX West time.
PAX West finished about 4 or 5 days ago.
Big, probably like biggest independent games. Is it independent games? Yeah. That's what they specialize in, right?
It's mainly indie games. They do like the huge brands have their presence there. Yep. There's your PlayStations, your Xboxes, etc. But it really does, like, it's the convention that has what's called the Indie Mega Booth, which is, I think this year it was like 69 developers.
Fuck nice. Yeah, nice, bro.
Showing like 68 games or something. No, it was the other way around. It was 69 games, which is so, like, better in a way. But yeah, so they really do have a good focus on indie games, and there's always like a lot of cool shit that comes out of it.
Yeah. So we had a bunch of other videos, like developers and publishers doing video stuff for us to watch some news. I feel like 2 episodes ago, I was lamenting the fact that we didn't get any news about Shovel Knight's final DLC.
Sure.
And also that we don't have a date yet for Untitled Goose Game. And both of those we got updates on within days after recording. So
almost like they listened to the pod.
I doubt that very much.
Let's hook these guys up.
So from Yacht Club Games, the publishers of Shovel Knight, not only did they announce, they didn't give us a strict release date.
Yeah.
The final DLC package for Shovel Knight in the Treasure Trove, which you'll get for free if you've already purchased the Shovel Knight Treasure Trove collection, which is a must get if you haven't got it already. Do you
of
get
course.
It?
I've got it, yeah.
On which platform?
Switch.
Nice.
And I might have it on PC as well, but Double who nice. Knows?
I think I have it on Switch and Wii U.
My Steam library is just covered in cobwebs now.
Yeah. Shovel Knight King of Cards is the final campaign, and that's going to be basically what they do is they repackage the game. You can play through it as one of the bosses that you fought in the initial game. So they've done a Plague Knight campaign, a what's his name, like Shadow Knight or some shit. That was the best one, Plague of Shadows, Plague, whatever. He was awesome. And now they're doing
King of Cards.
His name is not Card Knight, though. Whatever. apparently, I'm looking forward to this game immensely, and I can't remember any of the important facts from it.
Sure.
But we're getting the final King of Cards package. It's going to come out in December.
Right.
Alongside Shovel Knight Showdown, which is a fighting game, a la kind of like a Smash Brothers kind of fighter.
So
where...
not like a Street Fighter, but more of a...
Yeah, I think it's like, knock the knights out of the arena kind of fun thing. You can play as one of the many knights in the game. It's multiplayer. It looks really fun. Again, all part of the Treasure Trove, which is, free if you've already bought it, which is awesome. So all that's coming in December, along with some new Shovel Knight amiibo, including a gold Shovel Knight amiibo. I think I've given up on amiibo, but I might have to get that one.
Yeah, no, you have not given up on amiibo if there's a gold Shovel Knight one that's coming. That's
true. And then we also got a big surprise announcement that there is a new Shovel Knight game, a game that is being made by Yacht Club alongside Nitrome, who we reviewed Bomb Chicken.
Yeah.
They made that game. And they have a long history of like Flash games and
And like a lot of mobile games as well. They've made some very cool mobile titles.
I love their logo.
Yeah.
And their title screen on their games.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
At the very least. But they're teaming up for Shovel Knight Dig, which looks to be a roguelite kind of game.
Yeah.
Where you are digging downwards, like SteamWorld Dig, except you are the Shovel Knight. You have a shovel. It's
and
fine.
Yeah.
SteamWorld didn't trademark the word dig.
It makes sense.
Dig Dug did.
did they get Doug as well?
No.
Doug Mulray did.
No, yeah.
yeah, and I think they've added, there's a couple new knights being added to Shovel Knight
Dig.
Yeah. Which is rad.
Yeah, super
like
cool.
Like Emerald Knight or something like that.
Yeah.
Something mineral based.
It looks so much, like tons of fun.
Yeah.
And also, they announced that you can now choose for all your characters to be genderless. Which is cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Inclusion is great. Yeah. So Shovel Knight is really going down. And
literally in Shovel Knight
right.
Dig.
Yeah, yeah. Plague Knight, Spectre Knight, King Knight.
King Knight.
Those are
cool.
The knights that I forgot. So that's it from the King of Cards. Sorry, yeah, that's it from Yacht Club. We also got a game that we're very much looking forward to called Untitled Goose Game.
So excited. It has finally a release date was revealed. And this is, you got to understand, this is over the last week. This is like late August. They revealed that the game is coming out on the 20th of September. So there's not even like months of anticipation or anything. Like it came out and I was like, in 3 weeks, I'm going to be playing Untitled Goose Game. I never thought I'd see the day. Like I was going to pass this passion down to my children and my grandchildren. And finally my great-grandchildren would be like, this one's for you, great-grandpa. But yeah, it's coming out September 20th on definitely Switch. I think PC as well.
And yeah, and Mac.
Mac.
Yeah.
And they're sticking with the name Untitled Goose Game, which is cool. I think that's just a really fun decision.
This is a game where you play a horrible goose who just wants to fuck up everybody's day.
Yeah.
It's been made by Australian developers Havoc House. Sorry, House House.
House House, yeah. House. And being published by Panic Inc.
Yeah.
The guys that did published... you're a guy with huge hands. You're in the Firewatch.
Firewatch. Yeah. You're a guy with huge hands.
Yeah,
game.
That's the one thing I picked up on. They're also Panic Inc. are also the ones they're making that little handheld Game Boy like console.
Oh, that's right.
Where it doesn't like
you
turn the crank to use it, but it's like instead of buying cartridges, every week over 12 weeks, a new game is released and downloaded to it.
Doesn't it unlock?
I think so. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Pretty but great. One of the games is made by the Katamari guy.
Oh, dope.
That's why I'm going to get one.
But yeah, it's a really interesting remix of the console.
They do great stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited for Untitled Goose Game.
So excited.
I'm annoyed it's coming out the same day as the Link's Awakening remake. But
sorry, Link.
You have no attachment to Zelda franchise at all. So yeah, you can...
it's my Honk's Awakening.
I reckon I can Untitled Goose Game. What do you reckon? 5-10 hours?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I can smash that up.
It's a small
Link. Link can wait a couple hours.
Yeah, of course.
And then there was a Nintendo Direct yesterday.
Yeah.
At the time of recording.
A lot of focus on bigger titles, but there were a few indies squirreled in there.
Yeah, and the biggest news is that the beloved indie game of last year that I was like, oh, do I want to get a PC so I can play this?
You've got to stop doing that.
I think about it. I never do it.
Of course.
I'm allowed to think about it. Don't stop me from thinking, all right? What are you, the Chinese government?
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. It's been great doing this podcast.
Return of the Obra Dinn.
Yes.
Which was developed and made by Lucas Pope, previously of Papers, Please fame.
Excellent.
It is like a black and white mystery puzzle game.
Like almost a one-bit old Mac kind of style graphics.
I think the graphic, like, it looks so cool. And it's like he's really smart for choosing that
look. Definitely.
It really stands out.
It's a puzzle game where basically you're on this ship where something has happened and you have a watch that's able to rewind time.
Mm.
So you're essentially rewinding time and the sort of ghosts of these people are acting out their final moments kind of thing. And you need to go through and work out what exactly happened on this ship. Really excited for it. It's gotten rave. It's been out on PC, I think, for like.
Apparently, it was on Mac too. So this whole time, I could have played it.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah, there you go. Look, I have a PC as well. I never got around to it, but been out for a while on those on that those platforms. But coming to Switch has been like, every time someone mentions Return to Obra Dinn, I always just think, can it just come out on Switch already, please?
Yeah. Very excited for that one.
Yeah. Super. No, cool. No release date as yet, I think.
Yeah, I just said this fall.
This fall, so which would be our spring. Sometime over the next 3 months. We're in spring.
It could be tomorrow. Yeah. It could be 2.5 months from now.
If it's on September 20, we're going to have serious problems.
I know. I don't think there's many things that you would choose the choose over the Goose Game, though.
No. Goose Game is top of the mountain. I think like the new season of Disenchantment, the Matt Groening cartoon on Netflix comes out that day as well, but Goose Game, all the Goose way. Game. Top. Okay. Link's Awakening, way down the bottom.
Full Link. Before we get into our reviews, you have a quick update from the aforementioned PAX West.
Yeah, so I took a look through a bunch of the games that were showing at PAX West and pulled together a little top five of ones that really caught my eye.
Five of 69.
So there's 64 more games on the Indie Mega Booth if you want to check those out yourself. But here are five that I really liked. Number one, Backbone by a Canadian developer, Eggnut Games.
That's a great name of a developer.
So really not appropriate for people with food allergies.
Also people who don't like cum.
Oh, God. Was that worse than your Chinese government joke? To all extent, it's releasing on everything. There's no release date as yet, but you can play the prologue on Steam.
Oh, man, look at those awesome graphics.
Yeah, it's a pixel art, like classic kind of pixel art, noir adventure game set in post-apocalyptic Vancouver. And all the people are animals.
Awesome.
So kind of like Black Sad.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks just like Black Sad.
Yeah, it looks like it's an excellent graphic novel. You interrogate people, you assemble clues.
Oh my God, this looks good.
It looks like there are some like platforming elements to it as well at various points. It looks great. Like just the graphics alone, I'm in love with.
Yeah, the graphics, it's so funny. I mean, it doesn't look too dissimilar from other point-and-click adventure games we've gotten recently, but... maybe it's just the fact that the animals in clothes. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
The graphics are incredible.
Yeah.
There was an awesome comic book series that IDW published last year or the year before called Animal Noir.
Okay.
And that reminds me of this as well.
Dope. So definitely keeping an eye on that one. As I said, no release date. But if you do play on Steam, jump on into the prologue, guys. Give it a taste.
Yeah, that looks great. Next one.
Next up. So I think over like a few episodes ago, we were discussing like... how cool it is when indie games take two really disparate sort of genres and meld them together in a way.
Sure.
And we use the example of Yoku's Island Express, which mixes pinball with a Metroidvania sort of thing.
Yep.
This is another example of that. This is quite an odd one. It's by Kit Fox Games out of Canada. It's called Boyfriend Dungeon. So it's a game where it's announced for PC and Mac, no release date yet. It is a combination dungeon crawling roguelite and dating simulator.
That's great.
So... above ground, when you're outside of the dungeon, you court and date these people, both men and women. You earn their affection, you give them gifts, you try to level up your relationship with them. All of these people, when you take them into the dungeon, become weapons. So if you've spent a lot of time like paying attention to someone, you kind of level up their stats, they become a more powerful weapon sort of thing.
Yep.
So it's this interesting, like, you got to, you know, and while you, in the dungeon, you sort of like, you kill monsters, you gain loot and stuff that you use to give as gifts to these people, which in turn levels them up and makes them more effective in the dungeon. It looks wild. Like, that's, it's one of those things where I'm like, I want to play this just to see how the two mesh together.
Yeah. At some point though, it does feel like you people just write a bunch of genres on a wall and throw darts at two of them. Like, oh, we've done it. We've got it.
Cool. Dating sim, roguelite. Done. Yep. I don't know if it's reached that point with this, but I think it's like, it's clearly a very like interesting and singular vision.
Very, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
very, very much great. Into that when that comes out. It's been around for a while, but it was good to see that. Like, apparently they debuted one of the new weapons at PAX. I saw a few reviews kind of talking about like what it was like to play. Seems great. Really into it. Next up, a game that I just showed you the trailer for. It's called Kunai. It's by Turtle Blaze Games out of the Netherlands. Coming to PC and Switch, no release date yet. It's a Metroidvania.
Hell yeah.
You play as this cute little robot that's had like the soul of a ninja fused into it. Reminds me very slightly of Gato Robato in terms of like graphics to a little bit.
Yeah, this is a little bit more flashy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like it also that means it also looks a lot more kind of fluid than, you know, like the kind of very, very, you know, pixel art graphics sometimes can seem a little bit, you know,
it's
less frames or whatever.
16-bit kind of thing. Yeah. It's a bit of an upgrade sort of thing. But it looks really fun. The little robot is very cute. Looking forward to seeing more of that one.
Kunais are those cool little throwing ninja throwing knife things.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You weeb.
I used to be a ninja.
All right.
My dad was a ninja.
Yeah. I'm an Irish ninja. Next up, we have a game called Wavebreak by Funktronic Labs out of the US. Hell of a name. Coming to all consoles. No release date yet. It is in the same way that Skate Bird caught our eye from where did that come from? E3, I think.
Yeah, or it was the Kind of Funny Showcase.
Yeah, Kind of Funny Showcase. This is a similar kind of thing. You play as little animals cruising around in like the speedboats they use to smuggle coke in Miami, and it's a skating game essentially. You can do like you can go off jumps and do flips and grind rails and stuff like
you're
that.
You're in a boat,
but you're in a boat, and it also has like a combat element as well, so you can like shoot stuff and. It's built mainly for multiplayer, but there is a single-player campaign that's apparently, like, very Miami Vice-inspired.
Yeah, it looks super fun.
Yeah.
You can tell that just from the logo of it.
Yeah. So that's a little ridiculous one that I'm looking forward to.
So Funktronic Labs have mostly done a lot of VR games.
Yes. This is not VR, though, which...
is great.
I'm happy about.
Because more people can play it.
I realize I've actually got six, but
the
sixth one's a bonus because it's just for me. But the fifth one is Norman's Night In.
I'll stop the recording so you can tell it to yourself.
Tell me now, jump bleep. Norman's Night In by Bactrian Games from the US. It's coming to PC, iOS, and Android on September 18. So it's going
to
be...
You've got 2 days to play it
very
before
busy.
You honk your life away.
Well, no, because there's another game on September 19th, Overland, which I've been waiting on for quite a while.
Overland's out soon.
Yeah, by a developer, published by Finchy. Can't remember who developed it, but
I saw that Castle Crashers is out that week too. It's coming to Switch. So one of my first, you know, like indie games that I played and loved.
Yeah,
on PlayStation 3 ages ago. Yeah.
Seems about right.
I think it was initially like a Microsoft Live Arcade game.
Yeah, it was. It was Xbox 360. Yeah. Exclusive for a while. Anyway, Norman's Night In by Bactrian Games from the US, coming to PC, iOS, and Android on September 18. You play a guy called Norman who is exploring this cave. The gameplay is you play as his bowling ball, and you move around by like slingshotting the bowling ball into his stomach and like smacking him around the level, essentially.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it looks really weird and really fun. I don't know much more details beyond that, but I watched the gameplay video and looks just weird.
Yeah,
cool.
Weird games are the best.
Yeah. And the last one, speaking of weird games, is the third in a series that I have very mixed feelings about. It's Cook Serve Delicious 3. So I loved Cook Serve Delicious 1. You play as a guy running a restaurant. It's sort of like a time management restaurant sim where you need to make dishes and serve them to customers as quickly as possible. In number one, you're running your own restaurant. You're attempting to get like a 5-star rating. So each day you're trying to be as perfect as possible to level up. The second...
Okay, Sierra.
Yeah.
She has a song called Level Up.
All right.
The chorus goes, level up, level up, level up, level up, level up.
I was like, Sierra Games? the second one, however...
Sierra, sorry.
The second one, however, the skyscraper that your restaurant was in, the people who own it got done for fraud, so you lose your restaurant. And then it's kind of like, you can go and do all these challenges at other restaurants, but there's no real progression to it.
Right.
So it was just like, it wasn't as fun. It didn't have that sense of like, cool, I've made it through another day, this is excellent, I've upgraded a star, whatever. So I loved number one, hated number two. They announced number three at PAX West... Number three, it's the year 2042. I think there's a post-apocalyptic element to it because it's set in the remaining states of America.
Yep.
So it's no longer united, it's now remaining. You are now running a food truck. And the whole thing is, the game is based around like you're on a road trip across America to go to a food truck championship in like Nashville or something like that. So... instead of having your own restaurant, you're doing each stop. And I think on the way to each stop, you can get orders on your phone beforehand so you can start preparing food before you even arrive. The trailer that they posted ends with a rival food truck doing a drive-by shooting on you. And I get the feeling that it's going to involve elements where you can like attack back because you have two robot helpers. One's the driver and one's the guardian. So I'm just, this looks bonkers. I'm so excited for it.
The like, food is like photorealistic.
Yeah, it's really like, it's good looking food. They've like increased the number of food items you can have on the menu.
What did you play the first and second game on?
PC, and I will be playing this one on PC as well. I'm guessing, like, I think Cook Save Delicious 2 is on Switch and maybe the first one as well. Definitely on other consoles, but like,
it's a mouse game.
Not even, it's a keyboard game.
Oh, right.
Like, you can press, you press keys to add various ingredients, and when you're in the zone, it's like, it's almost like a typing tutor. Like, just knowing, like, not even looking at the keyboard, like, typing, you know, the letters you need to type. Just great. Really, like, it's one of those games where each service becomes this almost panicky rush, and if you pull it off perfectly, you just lean back from your... I would lean back from my computer and be like, oh my God, that was good. Cool, great.
You've been mispronouncing the game title, though. It's called Cook, Serve, Delicious 3?
Three?
Question
mark. That's right. It's like question mark and exclamation. Anyway, that's PAX. That's the stuff I really liked on PAX.
Yeah, awesome. Fantastic. Which means now we can officially get into this week's game reviews.
Yes.
I've been playing a game called Blasphemous. This is a game that I've seen little clips and trailers from over time. It struck me as a very gory pixel art game where you play as a guy with a sword.
It's sort of, for me, it had the vibe of like classic metal album cover kind of game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's like, it's a gothic horror Metroidvania, but it has Catholic.
Yeah, very like medieval lore. Catholic sort of themes to it.
Spanish Catholics.
Yeah.
It's been developed by some guys called the Game Kitchen, who I think are Spanish.
Sí.
This is a... Look, I thought this is... I knew it was going to have Metroidvania elements. What I didn't realize was that this game, after being disappointed by Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
Sure.
Because I, you know, had only finished Castlevania Symphony of the Night like a few months before that, and I was like, hell yeah, sign me up for like, you know, the same game 20 years later by the same team. And, you know, they instead of going with pixel art, Bloodstained went with 3D rendered. There was like so many bugs and just lag when you played on the Switch. So it was disappointing. It is a game that I do want to return to at some point.
Actually, have there been any updates about like Switch patches or
they
anything?
Haven't patched it yet, no.
Lame.
They've added stuff to it, to the game, but they haven't patched it yet. It's pretty infuriating.
More like Dud-stained.
Don't say that yet. Give it a year.
More like currently Dud-stained.
potentially Dud-stained. What I wasn't expecting was that... No, Blasphemous. Sorry, they're very easy. I was like, wait a minute, which game am I talking about again? Blasphemous, on the other hand, this fantastic game by the Game Kitchen. Blasphemous is like beautiful, like some of the best pixel art you'll ever see. And if you're like me and you are somewhat sadistic when it comes to gore, but like kind of cute gore.
Yeah.
Like, I love pixel art gore.
Yes.
One of my favorite games growing up was a PlayStation 1 game called Heart of Darkness, where you played a kid who basically it was like, you know, like it was like an adventure game kind of.
Yeah.
But like this kid could die in so many different awful ways, mostly in the mouths of different aliens and things like that. I just used to love, and every now and then I'll look up like a Heart of Darkness, like, death animations and just watch them all because they're all so beautifully animated.
Do not show those to Archie.
No. but the level of detail in the pixel art, like, so basically I know that this team working on Blasphemous game, it's I think it's about 7 members strong at the moment.
Sure.
It was 5 when it started. At its peak, it had 15 members working on
Good Lord.
And majority of them were just working on pixel art. And when you see the level of detail in this game, you will realize, like, you know, why they needed that many people to work on this.
Yeah.
So basically, you play the Penitent one.
Yes.
Penitent one. You are someone on a mission, a pilgrimage, if you will.
I will.
And you basically have to, you know, get rid of the evil in this world.
Yes.
In this, like, yeah, like this Spanish Catholic Gothic, like castle landscape. It's so much like Castlevania, but in such a good way. It's taken so many elements of Metroidvanias since then, and even like, I guess, like elements of like the Dark Souls games, and just turn them into something, turn it into such this great modern feeling game, which is what I really wanted to get out of Bloodstained. Instead, this feels like what Castlevania Symphony of the Night would be if you made it now.
Yeah,
but the lore is completely different and adds something new. It's such a unique game
so
because of it.
So much lore too. I've had a taste of this game. You're like 94% complete.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get?
I have not beaten the final boss yet. I wanted to do it with 100%, but there are puzzles in this game. There are really, really tough enemies in this game. But it is, I reckon that when I finally get, you know, Nintendo don't tell you how long you've been playing a game until you've had it for 10 days.
Yeah.
I think that's a couple of days away. I could probably be able to let everyone know next week how many hours I put into it. But I think I was expecting this game to be around like 15, 20 hours. I'm pretty sure I put in easily double that, like around the 40 mark.
Damn, okay.
I've been up all night, every single night in the last week playing this nonstop because these are the kind of games where like I'm really good. I love Metroidvanias. They're my favorite. You know, I love the exploration vibe of it. I love the fact that you'll be walking through a room and you'll see something and you can't access it yet. And you're like, oh, soon I'll be able to come back and get this. And you're always taking mental notes. You're remembering. But a game like Hollow Knight, which was my favorite game of last year, also a Metroidvania, I played it, you know, a year-ish after it had come out on PC. So there was so many hundreds and thousands of other people that had written guides or like had made maps that showed you important locations that the in-game map doesn't show you. So whenever I was like, fuck, I know I need to go and find this thing so I can, like, you know, solve this puzzle, I can't remember where the hell I saw that thing, I would consult the map.
Of course.
I'm one of less than 100 people that are playing Blasphemous before it comes out on the 10th, which it'll come out like tomorrow if you listen to this the day we put the episode up. There's nothing online.
Yeah, of course.
So I got to about 85% before I caved, and I've tracked down Enrique Collinet, who is at Baxion on Twitter. He is one of the developers.
Oh, wow.
And level designers. He's also a voice actor, so I think he's lent his voice to a few characters in this game. And he works for the Game Kitchen. And I wrote to him and I was like, hey man, I'm playing a review copy of this. I love it to death. It's possibly my favorite game of the year, but I'm stuck on a few things. And he was like, I mean, he was just stoked that someone was talking to him about the game. And he's been so helpful.
Awesome.
Because also like I'm playing an earlier build of the game than what is going to be out when it gets released properly.
Okay,
so
okay.
There's a few glitches and he's just asking for feedback in general on that. It's really, really fun. This has been such an amazing experience.
Yeah.
It is the best thing about Metroidvania games. Like there's a few moments I love in them. The best thing is like when you first get to a new area, it's so terrifying because this is the kind of game where if you die, you go back to where you to the last save point you checked in.
Yeah, they have like shrines.
That's right. So which is similar to Hollow Knight, where Hollow Knight, if you died, you lost all of your coins.
Yeah.
And then you had to, then when you had to basically track down where you died to fight a Dark Soul version of yourself, and then you got your coins back. In this one, when you die, you leave behind your guilt.
Yes.
And you have to go back to where you died and basically reclaim your guilt.
Right.
And if you can't find your guilt, or if you can, you know, if there's a really hard enemy to that's stopping you from getting it, you can go find a confessor, and the confessor like rids you of your guilt.
Which there was a similar person in Hollow Knight.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to pay him money or tears. There's all kind of weird currencies and different things. You collect rosary beads. The rosary beads give you different elements. You can only equip so many depending on how many knots your rosary beads have. You can upgrade your sword so it does different like cool special moves and like you can fire projectiles. There are relics that you have to like complete side missions, and then they grant you special power-ups that can allow you to access areas that you weren't able to before. There are so many weird side missions and very obtuse puzzles. So this last 10% has been like very, very like just please just give me a hint, man. Enrique, you could do me a solid here. I want to try and finish this before it comes out.
I will pan this on the podcast.
No, we'll never do that.
Of course.
But this game is like, The music is gorgeous. Like, in fact, I'm going to end the episode with a song from it. The Carlos Viola is the composer.
You know what I love? If you get to 99%, you're like, all right, here we go, cool, 100%. And the last boss is like, please sit down and play chess with me. And you're like, oh no!
And I have to become a chess master. Yeah.
I've had just a little taste of this game. I think I'm up to like the second or third area kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think I messaged you and said, like, my first impression of this game is religion is fucked up.
Yeah.
Because there's like, after I killed the first boss, there's a little cutscene where you like take your pointed hood off, fill it with the blood of the boss, and then put it back on again. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's the best.
This is horrifying. It's,
man, and some of the creativity in the bosses, especially the boss, like, so yeah, like, you know, it's classic Metroidvania shit where, like, you know, there's unique enemies in each of the different areas that you make your way through and explore. And there's some pretty difficult platforming sections. Get ready to absolutely hate the jump range of the character.
Right.
But in the best way, it's like, if you don't time it right, you'll kill yourself in spikes or a pit or whatever.
Yep, done it a few times.
There's early on in the game, that was my biggest criticism, was that there was like, you know, you spend so much time, trying to, increase your health, and being able to refill your health, and like, you know, you have these like, bile jars that you yeah. smash over yourself and you give yourself more health that way. If you land in spikes or a pit, you're just dead instantly.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of spikes and there are a lot of pits.
Yeah. I'm currently stuck on a bit where like I need to jump across ladders. Like it's easy to jump across and like, you pick something up there.
Yep.
But then jumping back is much harder and I keep just falling in the spikes and dying.
Yeah.
And my guilt is sitting there and I'm like, do I bother? Because that's the other thing with like, in Hollow Knight, you mentioned you just lose currency until you go back and kill your shadow self. Then you get your currency back. In this, when you leave guilt, you actually... Because there's a like a power bar figure or something.
Magic in this is prayers.
Yeah.
So you do a prayer and it's a special attack.
But if you like when you leave guilt behind, it shortens.
Yeah, thorns cover your
prayer.
Your magic bar, basically. Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, right. And
you're also limited in the amount of tears that you can collect, which you do need a lot of to buy upgrades and things like that and get rid of your guilt.
I love every time when I'm fighting an enemy, every time it flashes red and a little X comes up above.
So I was going to say, yeah.
You're going to get like a sick execution.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a finish him. Yeah. Mortal Kombat-esque, like super gory, like pixel art execution of almost every character, every enemy.
The one I've seen the most of so far is there are enemies that have like big shields that they're hiding behind, and to attack them you need to like parry their blows. It has a parry system. You parry, it opens them up for an attack. Executing those guys, you like run up on their shields and just crush them underneath, and every time it happens I'm like
yeah, there's some incredible ones. Like, I like, you know, like take the weapon away from some of them and like, you know, stab them with it and chop off limbs, and you know, it's just it's great stuff. Everyone explodes in a pile of blood and ooze. It's excellent. But like what this absolutely nails is that like that mixture of fear and wonder when you get to a new area where you're so excited to be in a new area, but the enemies are that much stronger and you've never encountered them before. You don't know what their patterns are.
Mm.
And you know that if you keep progressing further and further and you can see the branching paths and the different rooms, and you're like, oh my God, do I backtrack and see what was in that room back there? What if that was where the save point is? You're desperately looking for the save point so you don't lose all your progress. That is a thrill, absolute thrill. The other thing this does is the boss battles are so fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like,
That's me done.
The last six boss, like the last sort of four, three or four bosses I've done are like the second Hornet fight in Hollow Knight hard.
Oh, no. And
did you ever beat that?
I think, yeah. But God, it took me like 60 tries to get it done.
The penultimate boss was just so many tries where I couldn't, like, so I realized that I was about to finish the final boss and I let myself die so I could go back and try and 100% the game first.
Right.
But if some of these puzzles are just so ridiculous, I might just finish the game and then check out a guide. I got to 86% with no guides.
Pretty good.
Beat the penultimate boss, realized I was at the final boss, then wrote to the developer. So
right.
I'm pretty proud of my efforts. There are some very tricky parts in this game, and especially like some of the side mission stuff. like it's wonderfully obtuse in the best way.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. I would never would have thought of that. But yeah, it's really, really fun. It's gorgeous. The music's excellent. The story and lore is like creepy and weird.
Very creepy.
The boss, yeah, like I mentioned before, the boss designs are so clever and different. Like one of them is like he's like a sleeping bishop, the sleeping skeleton of a bishop.
Right.
But he's gigantic and he's in a coffin and he's being held up by the arms of his supporters.
Oh.
Who try. So in order to attack him, you have to attack the arms first.
Okay.
Then they drop the coffin and then you can slash at his head.
Right.
But he can attack you, and then also hands come out of nowhere and just slap you around like giant hands. There's another one it's like giant baby that can control. I think that this is the one of the bosses you can see in the trailer. This giant baby who controls like this weird monster. Fuck, it's so good. Yeah. It's just so good and weird and creepy, and I love the voice acting in it. It's great. Like, yeah. Well, there's only a small amount of it, but it's really effective. And like there's a jail cell area, and like you just hear the whispers of this man praying, you know, in every single cell. It's creepy. Terrifying. I love it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting further into it.
It's top three game of the year for me, easy. Damn. Possibly for number one. But
Goose Game will come out. And
I'll honk this one away. Yeah, the honking. But yeah, if you love Metroidvanias, I reckon I can say with full confidence that this is easily the best Metroidvania since Hollow Knight.
Blasphemous by the Game Kitchen, coming to
everything. Yeah, I think it's coming out. Where have we got? It's coming out on PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Microsoft Windows, and PC and Xbox.
Cool.
There you go.
Nice. Covered all the big ones.
Yeah. So, and it's being published by Team 17, who are best known for like
Loki Goats.
Yeah, they did some amazing stuff. British publisher that best known for Worms, and more recently, Overcooked.
Yeah. And
Yoku's Island Express, we talked about earlier as well. Yeah, of
course, Yoku's. And releasing on September...
September the 10th.
10th.
Yeah, so the embargo for this goes up on the 9th, which is when this episode is going to go up. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Enjoy this game, everybody. I really hope you love it as much as I do. But just keep in mind that it is it's very tough.
Yes.
I feel like Metroidvanias take a little bit of time to really show themselves and how great they are. It's all about discovering the new areas and getting your upgrades and feeling more powerful. Like, you know, there are worlds that... areas that I died repeatedly in over and over again. I was like, fuck this area. I'm going to have to... There's always different branches of paths you can take as well. There's always a different thing you could be doing instead of fighting a certain boss or trying to slug through like a really tough area. But now, like, you know, towards the end of the game, like I can make it from one area of the map to the other without even taking damage, you know, or purposely taking damage because I don't care.
Yeah. There's actually my one minor quibble with it is I wish you could, because it gives you a map. I wish you could zoom in on the map a bit.
Mm.
I get that. It's pretty small, so it's like there are a few times I'm like peering at the screen, like, wait, is that an opening? Can I go through there? Kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I'll give you that. Look, there's a few quality of life changes that I'd love to make in this, but it's
nothing major.
Nothing that stops me from hampering my enjoyment of the game. There's just a few things that I'm like, oh. You know, I wish it. Yeah, I just unlocked something that gives you an alert whenever you're near a secret, which is very handy.
Oh, nice!
But not handy enough. Much handier is just emailing the dev. So, shouts to Game Kitchen, shouts to Blasphemous, shouts to Enrique,
cool,
and shouts to Carlos Viola for the music you're going to hear at the end of the episode too.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
So my game is Wilmot's Warehouse. I believe it's been out on PC for a while now, but it just arrived on Switch, I think, in the last week or so. It is produced, it's developed by a company called Hollow Ponds and published by Finji. Finji have also published, they did Night in the Woods. They've also got the upcoming game Tunic. And
that's right. And they're also doing Overland too, right?
Huh?
They did Overland as
yes,
well.
Yes,
yeah.
They have Overland coming out as well.
And even Cannibalt, that runner game on phones.
Yeah, so they've had a very interesting kind of previous releases. But Wilmot's Warehouse is, you play as this little cube working in a warehouse mm-hmm. by yourself. It's, you have to like, it starts with like you getting a bunch of products delivered. And the products are represented by little squares that have symbols in them or patterns on them or stuff like that. You have 3 minutes to take this delivery and organize it into the warehouse. The thing is, you create the organization yourself. There's nothing there telling you, like, this goes here, that goes there. It's up to you to put all this stuff where you think it should go. Once that three-minute phase of delivery is finished, you then have like a 1.5 minute customer phase, which is where 4 customers will come to your warehouse and go, I want 3 of this thing, or like 2 of this and 1 of that sort of thing. So you then have to remember, because when you move away from these little boxes, if you will, when you move away from these boxes, you can no longer see what they are. You can, when you move close again, it's revealed, but you have to kind of keep in your head an idea of like, where in the warehouse did I store this particular product?
This I'm looking at this game now, like the trailer. It looks so gorgeous and fun, and yeah. like I could see myself getting very obsessed with this game.
It's this like it's great gameplay in that sort of the puzzle comes from your own brain, because I went through the tutorial and it's like, okay, this is how you move around, this is how you pick up a box, this is how you pick up multiple boxes. And then it goes like, right, here are a bunch of boxes, sort them into winter or hats. And so a couple of the boxes have like a snowflake, got like there's a snowflake, there's a snowman, and then the hat one is like a pirate hat and there's a baseball cap kind of thing. It's like, okay, those go over there into winter, those go over there into hats. And then it's like, right, sort this one into winter or hats. And it's like a beanie with a bubble on the top, so the sort of thing you'd wear during winter.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, well, it's up to you. Do you think that's more of a wintry item, or do you think that's more of a hat item?
Hat. It's a hat.
Definitely. I mean, let's be serious here. But thank that's you. That's the thing. All the organization in the warehouse, you are the person that decides what it is. So each, like after a couple of rounds of like delivery and serving customers, you get a like an untimed or time free stock take round, which is where you can then like, because with each round you successfully complete, they add more products being delivered.
Oh, right. Sure.
So very quickly, your warehouse can just become an absolute mess of stuff if you're not kind of keep on top. Because you might start by thinking like, okay, this bottle of wine should go with like the soap pump container and the jar.
This bottle of wine is a hat.
They're all containers. But then after a while, you're like, actually, wait, I've gotten all these new products in that are more kind of like drinks. So maybe I should rearrange my warehouse to create a new drinks section. So yeah, it's all like, it's a puzzle game, like I said, where a lot of the puzzle comes from you maintaining your own sense of order in this warehouse. Each round you complete, you get stars for, particularly if you complete them under time. You can use those stars to buy upgrades. So you can upgrade the number at like, you start being able to carry six boxes. You can carry more than 6 boxes. You just move at a snail's pace.
Right.
But you can upgrade to carry 8 boxes fine, or 10 boxes, or 12 boxes. There's a dash function. So if you're not carrying anything, you can move around the warehouse a lot quicker with this dash. There are six kind of big pillars in the warehouse that take up space. You can purchase upgrades that remove those pillars, giving you more space to stock stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there are all these like little upgrades that make life a bit easier, but at the same time, by the time you've earned these upgrades, you've reached a point where you're getting so many products in each time that it's just the difficulty rises to match it kind of thing. It's really cool. It's a really interesting take on like almost, I mean, there's a Tetris-y almost element to it because it's all about organizing things, but at the same time, you know, deciding, do blue stripes mean nautical or do you create a new section just for patterns sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. Man, it looks really, really good. I definitely want to give this one a shot. Do you remember how much it was?
Oh, 20? Around 20.
Yeah, I think Blasphemous is 30 as well.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Great price points for these games.
Yeah.
So are you currently making your way through a story mode or is it a bit more open-ended than that?
That's one hitch I had with it is that there's not a lot of structure to the gameplay. I think it's just like you play as hard and as fast as you can until you can't anymore. But I think it would have been nice to have that little layer of like a campaign structure to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's considering it's just about like, it's not a game that I would sit down and play for 3 hours straight because I'm not unlocking story, but it's a game that I would definitely hop into and play 20 to 40 minutes of just like racking my brain trying to figure out how do I organize this round kind of thing.
Yeah, man, it seems really, really great.
Yeah. Did I mention consoles? It's out on PC, Mac, and Switch.
Yeah, and it came out at the end of last month on all those consoles. So yeah. Check it out.
Big shout out to HoloPons and Finjin.
How's the music?
It's good. Shut up. I know what you're doing here.
Oh, actually, I wasn't going to, but I should. Yeah. Perfect opportunity. Everyone, please remove John from your lives because he doesn't. You just straight up just don't listen to music. Just don't listen to the game soundtrack.
All right. In my defense, a lot of the time when I'm playing Switch, I'm on a couch with my wife and we're watching TV. I understand that I could put headphones in to listen to the soundtrack, but I don't want to like socially remove myself in that way.
Okay,
if
sure.
you will. When you know she heads off to bed and if I'm playing the Switch by myself, I'll often turn the sound on at that point.
Okay, yeah.
And just play through that way. Like yesterday when I was playing Blasphemous after she went to bed, sound went up.
You need the sound cues for some of the boss fights. By
oh,
the
really?
Way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, good chat. Yeah.
But it's like you wear glasses. You've already got hindered vision. Why not rely on your other senses?
Thanks, man. Welcome to the beat up John F. part of
No, all I'm the asking small our games. Audience to do that.
Yeah. No, look, I will admit I should carry a pair of headphones with it so when I'm on the bus or something like that, I can listen to the soundtrack kind of thing. Or listen to the sound. But I feel like my excuse for when I'm at home, that's valid.
All right, I'll give it to you.
Do you just ignore? Do you go?
No,
hey Bianca, I'm playing Switch. Pop.
No, we watch TV together.
Yeah.
I generally play when I'm alone.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Or when everyone else is asleep, and that's when I really just really fuck it up.
Yeah. Sound all the way up, kind of thing.
I love an eerie game like this. Also, like so, it's so good with headphones in. Yeah.
Atmosphere, sure.
Anyway, cool. Wilmot's Warehouse and. Blasphemous. Excellent games.
Yeah,
check it out, everybody. And next week we're going to be talking about River City Girls. We're going to be talking about The Creature in the Well, and we're going to talk about Rad. So make sure you stay tuned.
Yep.
To us for an entire week until the episode comes. I don't know where I'm going.
Listen
with that.
To this podcast.
I got a background in radio, everyone. Sometimes it's hard to shake the old habits.
If you want to know more, make sure you follow us on Twitter at @allthesmallgame. Or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/allthesmallgames.
Are you going to post those awesome games you're talking about from PAX?
Yes, I will do a Twitter thread of the trailers I've got.
Unreal, so good.
Yep. If you want to follow Levin's on his personal socials, where should they go?
At LevDawg, whatever. LevDawg.
LevDawg. I'm at 16 tacos, 16 the number. Let us know what you're playing, what you're loving. What are you hating? What are your dreams?
The end.
What are you feeling?
Good night, everybody.
What are you wearing? We'll be right back.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.